had a huge upset the other day, so I sent a frantic email, and then we'll move up our appointment to tomorrow. But, you know, I guess tone of the home is the topic today, and I really need to keep reminding myself of that because I can get really stressed.
It's easy.
And start reacting really without taking any breaths or thought ahead of time, because, you know, I was writing in my email, because that's kind of how she has said how I process information. I realize I do. I can write and then explain everything. But when the rug gets pulled out from under me, I'm just like taken so off guard. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like nothing that I expected to see. I found a pack of cigarettes in his room. And I lost it. I just was like, oh my gosh, I knew you never liked this when other people did it, and knew it was, you know, bad decision and all that. And I'm like, so I just ranted and went into my tirades. And then did the catastrophizing where I take it all the way down to drugs.
Dying of lung cancer.
Pardon me?
Dying of lung cancer.
Well, yeah, I've told him about that, you know, and he just says he doesn't care. So I guess.
Excuse me for a minute. I'm just joined. How old is? I'm sorry to be rude, but I wanted to know how old the child is.
18.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Who's this?
Charlene. I was joining late, and I heard Charlene. The cigarettes, and I'm like, oh no, how old is the child? So I'm sorry. Go ahead. I hope I didn't mess you up. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Did you want to say more, Jane? Or?
Go ahead.
Well, I was finished.
Okay. Hey, Charlene.
Oh, no, I didn't want to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, no problem.
So I'm covering for Diane today, Charlene. So I know that you usually have Diane on the call today, but she is on vacation. She's actually kind of down by you, I think, and she's in Florida, out on the water, enjoying herself. So I told her that I would take the call today, and we're just kind of, you know, checking in. It's just you and I and Jane so far, and I turned the recording on. So let me just say, for the purposes of the recording, that today is wow, it's Tuesday, yeah? January 8th, 2019, if you can believe it. And today is a Tuesday noon older kids PSS call. And this week we're talking about the tone of the home, which is my absolute, absolute favorite topic, because it's such a powerful thing. And we do the exercise wheel, and it's phenomenal. But before we dive into that, do you want to check in, Charlene, and tell us what you want to celebrate?
Celebrate. Oh, I'm sorry, I was late, and I'm trying to find the email from the book. Celebrate that I guess each day gets a little better, and celebrate that we made it through Christmas, that I'm making it through getting back to school.
Yeah.
Celebrate, yeah, you know, that I'm learning to, like, let a lot of things go, which is one of my things that I want to work on also, though, because along with celebrating on letting things go, I'm worried that I'm not teaching my daughter to be a better adult. But I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. What do you attribute things getting better to, or your ability to kind of let more things go? Is it a conscious effort in the moment, or is it just kind of steamrolling, I guess, as you get going? It's easier to let things go.
It's been a conscious effort in the moment, but I've been working on it for 4 years. I started 4 years ago, I guess, with realizing that it's not, you know, that it's not, I try to remind myself that if it's not the behavior, you know, if she could do good, she would.
Right, right.
She's you know, and her brain is wired differently than mine, so.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's joined us from Atlanta, it looks like.
This is Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer, it's Jeremy. I'm covering for Diane today.
Hi.
We're just doing check-ins and celebrations. Do you want to check in and celebrate real quick?
Check in where, I guess, down the home stretch, my son started his last semester in high school yesterday.
Wow.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
That he's totally not prepared
for the last semester of school or for what comes after.
For what comes after, and I have sitting on my desk a Wright's Law book on special education law, trying to figure out the FERPA requirements, and it's just crazy.
Oh my gosh. So it's a celebration, but it's also a kind of a fear of what comes next, huh?
Exactly.
How were the holidays?
Uneventful. I mean, you know, we don't have family in town, so it was mainly, you know, my husband and I were working, and my son was staying home every day and spending way too much time on the computer doing Lord knows
yep.
what.
Yeah,
but
I know that feeling.
Other than that, it was okay.
Okay, well, fair enough. Let's see. So, yeah, the topic today is tone of the home, which I was just saying is one of my absolute favorites because I feel like it's a very powerful exercise and it's a good reminder in the moment of what we want to be, I guess, a reminder of how we want the vision of the future to be. And I'm just totally lost my train of thought. Sorry. It's a way to help us kind of stay fully present and yet think ahead based on what we're doing every day. Sort of like you were saying, Charlene, it takes conscious effort every day to make a change and to make things better in some way. And I think this exercise will be hopefully helpful. And if not, then we can kind of break it down and figure out what we're missing. But before we dive into that, let's go back around and take aim. And it sounds like most of you have an idea of what you want to take aim on, but let's go ahead and just process that and verbalize it so that we're all on the same page. So you're taking aim on the change you wish to see. It sounds like some of you have been working on the same thing for a while, which is awesome. So take aim on that if you'd like, or take aim on something different this week. It's up to you. So take about 10 seconds, 30 seconds, gather your thoughts, and then just jump in and let me know what you're thinking when you're ready.
This is Jennifer. I'll start. I guess I'm taking aim, although I don't know if it will matter,
taking aim on.
Sorry.
Oh, sweetie, what's going on?
Not going after the school system because it's a little too late for that.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out next steps.
Okay.
For my son to be successful
mm-hmm.
in college and in life after.
Yeah. What do we need for him today? And what do we need for you to feel comfortable today? Let's start with you, maybe.
Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay.
No, I just feel like the past, well, 13 years, yeah, they've gone by in a blink, but the past 10 years that we've been on this special ed roller coaster
mm-hmm.
with school and has gone way too fast, and I guess now I'm realizing, like, wait, what they said isn't what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we, you know, move on,
mm-hmm.
so that he has supports in place when he goes to college? Or even just supports taking, like, the Accuplacer, because he probably won't get into any four-year college with his SAT scores.
Mm-hmm. And so update me real quick, just because I don't know where you're at in that journey. Has he applied to your community colleges and four-year colleges? Is that process still ongoing? Is he planning on a gap year? Kind of what have you guys put into place so far?
Well, he has applied, or I've applied for him, because he's got a one-track mind that all he wants to do is be a Marine, but
mm-hmm.
yet he knows that even his ASVAB scores won't get him into the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knows that his father and I want him to take at least 2 years of college before going into the military, and he's realized that, yeah, it'd be better to enlist as an officer, but everything is still Marines, and it's hard to get him to. He has once said that, oh, well, maybe, you know, education, I maybe get a degree in secondary education and do like an emphasis on special ed so other kids aren't screwed like I am. And I'm like, well, honey, you need to go back to elementary school for that. But he doesn't.
Like there's nothing official in place yet. No specific plan that's agreed
he's
on.
And I don't think schools really talk to him and said, okay, if you can't do this, what else do you want to do? Let's see what's going to take to get to that, or, you know, anything like that. I don't think that they've, you know, they haven't followed up on. I mean, he's got a transition plan in his IEP, but I don't think it's totally realistic.
Okay. So for the purposes of the call today, which part of that do you want to take aim on? The plan?
Probably.
And I'm going to ask you one more clarifying question. How far down the path do you need to be able to see to be comfortable with the plan? Meaning, if it's a plan just for the semester, or if you know that here's what we're going to do to get through the semester, is that okay, or does it need to be a plan that goes all the way to the beginning of the school year next year, or can it be a plan for the entire year from now? How far down the path do you need to see? I don't think we can go much further than a year from now. But where in there can you?
I would settle
envision?
For what's he going to do in 2019.
Okay. Perfect. Good to know. Awesome. Thank you. Who's next? Take an aim still.
I'll go. Charlene, I guess I want to take aim on like I said, I feel like I'm enabling my child while I'm trying to do all the stuff for her. I mean, not that I'm enabling her, but that I am not teaching her life lessons, even though I know, you know, God, I don't know how to work, because I know that they it's difficult for her to learn a lesson on consequences. Example, washing her clothes. She leaves her clothes all over the floor. She'll wear something for a second, put it in the dirty clothes pile, and it's not even dirty. Or like her pajamas, she'll wear them one night a week. I mean, one night, and then put them in the dirty clothes. And I'm always like, you're going to have to wash your own clothes if you keep putting clean clothes in the laundry. But the consequence would be that she would have no clothes. But she doesn't think that far ahead to see that, you know. So I'm like, that's like not like a learning consequence for her, I guess. So, I mean, a life lesson. So I'm like picking up her clothes still. So my thing is trying to take aim on trying to do for her or help her or, you know, pass the wand. You know, and pass it on to her, but I'm not quite sure if I'm doing it and or, you know, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm like, I don't want her to lose out or struggle because of something that her brain is not letting her know to do.
Right.
But I also want her to be an adult that is able to do for herself.
Sure. So there's lots of pieces to that, you know, and we can use laundry as an example, which is a really good one. And just like anything that we put scaffolding around or anything that requires a structure to help our kids be successful, you know, as we tell them, the goal is for you to be able to do this by yourself. I'm willing to help you, you know, until you can get to the point where you are able to do this for yourself. But here are the steps involved. And, you know, maybe the first couple times you do have to say, okay, it's Thursday. You know, today's laundry day. However you guys set it up. But it's totally fine to continue to walk her through that process if that's what she needs, and then to start dropping out along the way. And I think you do have to take each skill kind of one at a time, because there's a whole list of things that kids need to be able to do before they can go off to college, and being able to do your own laundry is one of them. And so I think if you approach it from, let's just go skill by skill, would that be helpful?
I'm hoping. That's what I've been trying to do, but it's like I'm going backwards, because now I feel like I'm enabling her again. You know,
I don't know.
I get to a point where it's like, because I'm picking up for her.
Okay.
And picking up, you know, instead of her doing it.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, because she's in middle school, and it's very much, it's a lot of pressure. Your first year in middle school, it's a lot of pressure, and just in life, like everybody, you know, so I feel like I'm trying, I want to help some, but I feel like I'm helping too much.
No, I understand.
But I
think
that's
almost a value question,
though.
Like a what are you okay with question, you know, in terms of, are you okay with leaving your stuff on the floor? Or you, I mean, there's nothing wrong with helping your daughter out if you know that she needs help and it's a stressful time. That doesn't mean you're enabling her. But it's certainly okay to be like, hey, I'm going to help you out with this because I know you're busy. She knows that it's not something that should be expected. But yeah, I mean, I let my daughter take a nap when she gets home from school every day because she goes to a school that's a 45-minute drive each way. And she's a senior in high school this year, and she's got all kinds of stuff going on. And I know she's tired when she gets home, but I do tell her that she can't sleep for more than 30 or 45 minutes because then she won't sleep at night, and then it becomes this big deal. So there's nothing wrong with allowing your daughter the space that she needs or the mess that she needs or leaving stuff, you know, kind of wherever, as long as it's something that you're okay with.
Yeah, I know, because that my thing is, too, that some of this stuff I'm wondering, I think this is all like more about me than her. I'm wondering like if she could do it, but she doesn't because she knows I will.
Well, how is it helpful to think like that?
It is not. It's gone.
Because you said earlier, right?
But
yeah,
how do you stop?
Excellent question. Well, what do you need to shift focus? I mean, it's that whole thing about telling yourself a story that is also true. I mean, so saying what you just said is one way to approach it, right? You know, I'm enabling her instead of supporting her, or I know she can do it, and she's choosing not to because she knows that I'll do it for her instead. And that's a pretty easy shift. In fact, you already said it earlier in the conversation that you're willing to help her out right now because it's a stressful time. It's the start of middle school, and the demands on her executive function are way higher than they were in elementary school. And you know that she's just not able to process all those things right now. She will be able to, maybe next year or maybe the year after. But she will be able to, and there's nothing wrong with saying she's having a tough time right now managing and balancing all these other things. And so I'm okay with picking the clothes up for her. Does that resonate, or is that a story that you're comfortable telling yourself?
Yeah, yes. And you know what? Thank you for, I should be using that Byron Kelly, Katie thing. I should be doing that with this. I did not even think that. Is it true? What if I'm telling myself? Is it true?
I try not to use the shoulds, remember, because then we end up shoulding all over ourselves, and then we feel bad.
Yeah.
So it's just a shift. Trust me. We all shift back into kind of the way that we're hardwired. You know, it is. It's a conscious effort every day sometimes to rewire our brains and the story that we're telling ourselves and stop that spiral. So it's totally okay. Don't beat yourself up at all. Make sure you give yourself some grace and forgiveness, because this is hard work. You know, as we say all the time, I mean, gosh, what, 80% of the parents who have kids like our kids end up divorced and addicted to drugs and alcohol or have other major, major challenges. So, you know, the work that we're doing is not easy. So cut yourself some slack and give yourself some grace. Jane, what do you want to take the aim on today? Yeah, of course.
I tried to figure out what it would be, but I'm not quite sure when there's a variety of things. So how should I narrow that down?
Well, just right at this moment, which one seems top of mind? What's the first one that comes to mind? Don't overthink it.
I guess catastrophizing about his future.
Okay. So the change we want to see is the way in which you approach your view of his future.
Yes.
Yeah. Question. When you start to catastrophize, are you able to kind of feel in your body where that's happening? Like, do you start to get tense? Like, do your shoulders kind of curl?
Yes.
Or does your stomach start to hurt?
No, my stomach starts to knot up, even like right now when I'm telling you, because I'm actually going down the line to his future that doesn't involve me helping along the way, helping and
okay.
helping and helping and helping and helping and helping.
So that's a pretty strong signal though, right? I mean, you know, when your stomach starts to clench up like that, you know you're starting to catastrophize. Is there anything my computer literally just died. Awesome. Is there anything in that moment that you can do as your stomach starts to clench up to at least put the snowball effect to a stop, right? We talk about the, you know, you start to spiral downwards and you kind of get caught in that loop of negativity and catastrophe. But as you feel that clench in your stomach, is there something like tangible that you can do to kind of stop the spiral?
Maybe just think of the present moment and like what's going on for today and things that are going well at the moment.
Okay.
Mostly, I guess, when you were saying that, I was reminding myself of things that I had to remind him of where he was very successful, because he announced it yesterday. Oh, because I'm just a failure like everything that, you know, in my life. And I said, don't ever say that to yourself. look, and then I reminded him of the things that he had done really well, such as pass his driver's education class without me helping at all. And I help with every other class in school.
That's huge.
Yeah, and he never, ever, ever likes to take notes in school. He took copious notes in driver's ed and studied. He never studies. And he passed the written exam. Well, I guess it's multiple choice, but still he passed it. And then he passed the driving and the whole thing without me doing any help, except, of course, being the driver. So I thought that was pretty good for somebody who has such severe ADHD and dysgraphia.
Absolutely.
With writing.
Yeah, so absolutely.
And he passed it.
And how did he feel after that?
I didn't ask him, but I think he probably felt better. And I feel better because I'm thinking, you know what, when he really is, because I asked him, why, you know, did you take notes? And he never missed a class. He was always there. I said, why did you, you know, how were you able to do all that? He said, because I knew it was important.
Oh.
That's important.
He felt the responsibility.
He said he knew. Oh, he knew it was important that he wasn't going to get a driver's license, and that's a motivation. So it tells me that when he's, you know, that strongly motivated, he can pull it off. But in school, you know, I remind him of the motivators, such as you want your high school diploma, right? But I think when that's not doing it, when you have, I don't know why that isn't as strong. Maybe it's more unreachable in the moment or not as exciting. I don't know. He definitely wants it. And he's another Marine person. Marine.
Interesting.
Same thing. And in community college as a part-time and leaves his clothes all over the floor, which I tend to kind of...
We are all sharing the same child.
Exactly. And I step over top of them. And then he puts them all in a laundry basket, and they all go downstairs, and then I take out all the things that are still clean, and I hang them right back up again. So I have to pick what things are, and that one left my priority basket when I found the cigarettes in the bedroom, and then I lost it. Because I just know how bad that is for his health. And then I didn't have a good tone of the home. I was angry.
That's okay. That's absolutely worthy. It's okay to get upset. I mean, there are definitely things that are on the okay list. Or you know, I mean, we all have our lines, right? You know, and there's, you know, the non-negotiables. And not smoking is one of ours, too. If I find my kid smoking, I think I would react the same way. That's okay. The important thing, as we always say, is what happens next, right? It's okay to be upset. But it's how you handle the next steps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, forgive yourself. This is hard work. You know, and when there's another layer added on top of it, then you're just like, really? Sorry, I totally get that.
Yeah. There are lots of layers and layers and layers and layers. Years of layers.
For sure. And there's going to be a few more years.
Oh, and see, that's where I never go. I always have this rose-colored glasses of, oh, it'll all go away, you know, as soon as graduation and the future. Everything will be beautiful and rosy.
And I would encourage you to recognize that everything already is beautiful and rosy.
Oh, okay.
Just your different definitions, maybe.
Yeah.
And so that's a good place to transition into the wheel, the tone of the home wheel. It's on page 36 in the workbook if you have the workbook, but if you don't have it in front of you, don't worry about it. You know, and the idea is that on any given day, our wheels are going to look a little bit different, right? You're never going to have an equal amount of stuff in every spoke, I guess, or every little pie piece of the wheel. And, you know, some days we're going to have the Fred Flintstone wheels, you know, like the square wheels on the rock car or whatever. And some days our wheels are going to be a little more smooth, but it would be a rare day if we had absolutely perfect wheels. But let's talk a little bit about the tone of the home, because it is a really powerful exercise, I find, and it helps keep things in perspective. We try not to get too far down the road, so it's sort of unique when we talk about not catastrophizing, but it's really, really powerful and helpful, I think, if we were to envision, you know, let's say 20 years from now or however far in the future you need to go with whatever age your child is now, to envision them home with their spouse or their partner or their kids, you know, your grandkids. Maybe you guys are all sitting around having breakfast or brunch or dinner, you know, whatever it is. You're sitting in your house and your grandchild asks your child, while y'all are sitting at the table, what was it like growing up in this house with grandma and grandpa? What do you want your son or your daughter to say? How do you want them to answer that question? Do you want them to say that growing up with you was a wonderful experience and that your home was full of love and light and support and understanding and happiness and joy and maybe firm boundaries, you know, maybe some lessons learned? Or do you want them to say that it was a really kind of dark and heavy, yucky, angry time? How do you want them to remember those times? You know, we talk about how, you know, we're parents for life, whether we like it or not. And the goal is to help our kids grow up to be functioning adults, not just tall kids. And so how do we do that? If we focus on the relationship and positive parenting, which is one of the key pieces of, the parent action model, we have that there for a reason, and that is specifically tied to the tone of the home, because the relationship is the most important thing. And yes, we do have to have more structure and maybe some more rules and more orders or more directions and maybe a little more forceful directions than the neurotypical home. But that's okay, you know, because we know that at the end of the day, what's the most important thing is that our kids know that we love them and that we're there for them no matter what. Excuse me, I'm going to cough this out. Okay, so looking at the wheel, there's a variety of spokes, like we said, or pie pieces. And if you haven't already, we're going to go through and just kind of mark it for today. Again, it doesn't have to be the way it is all the time. It can just be the way it is today. And once we're aware of how we feel about the different pieces on the wheel, then it's easier to make that shift. And so if you're looking around, there's several spokes. If you don't have it in front of you, spirituality, noise level, emotionality, physicality, sense of teamwork, time spent, visual aesthetic, shared responsibility. Those are the different spokes. And if you're not sure what those mean, we're going to go through them. So if we start with I always like to start with visual aesthetic just because that's the one that always bugs me the most, I guess. But if you're looking around the room that you're in now, or you're looking around your house, is it filled with things that are meaningful to you? Is it filled with beautiful things? Is it the way that you need it to be in order for you to function at the most optimal? Or is it filled with piles and clutter? And it's okay if it's piles and clutter, and that's the way that you function best. But when you look around the room, are you filled with a sense of calm and peace and purpose? Or are you filled with this, I've got to pick that up, I've got to do that, why is that pile over there? You know, are there calming colors on the walls or bright colors? You know, whatever reflects the you you are, the you you want to be, is that what you have? And if not, is that something that you can fix? Let's go the other way, I guess. So time spent, do you look forward to spending time at home, or does spending time at home kind of fill you with a sense of dread? And I know there's probably days where spending time at home does not sound like a lot of fun, particularly if you're going through a tough time with your kids. But, you know, on average, do you enjoy being in your home? Sense of teamwork, that's pretty self-explanatory, but it includes not only your relationship with your kids and the teamwork there, but also with your spouse or partner. Physicality, that can be a bunch of different things. Is it a place where it's easy for you to move around? It also kind of goes back to the visual aesthetic. Is there too much stuff? Is it heavy stuff?
Is it exhausting to move around your house? Do you feel like a drain on your body? You know, like you're always wearing a big heavy coat or something when you're at home. And is that something that you can change? Emotionality and noise level to me are tied together. There's noise level in the sense that if you have a larger home, or if there's a lot of echoes in your house, do you spend a lot of your day going, what did you say? Can you come down here so I can hear what you're saying? Can you open the door so I can hear what you're saying? is that a noise level that you find draining, or are you okay with that? Noise level in terms of joyous yelling, you know, or laughing or having a good time together, you know, the sound of positive or comedic conversation, you know, what is that noise level like? And is that at the level that you want it to be? Emotionality is also like expression in terms of, are you able to express yourself and feel the range of emotions without being concerned about being judged? And are your kids able to do that as well? Are they able to be emotional when they need to and feel like they're in a safe space where it's okay to cry? It's okay to, you know, go be by yourself and reset and reflect. Is your home a space that allows that to happen? And is that everything? Spirituality is not necessarily religion. Spirituality is faith. It's maybe the wholeness or the oneness of the tone of the home, all of the things together. And if you want to include faith or religion in there, are you comfortable with the level that you're at? Do you pray before meals or whatever that means to you, whatever your higher power or universal spirit is the way that your family and your home honors that at a level that you want it to be? Teamwork's pretty straightforward, you know. Does everybody chip in and help out? Or do you feel like you have to yell to get people to chip in and help out? Sometimes that's hard. There's definitely days when I'm like, could you just do it? Do I have to argue with you about everything? And that's where that kind of shared responsibility teamwork thing comes into play. How do we fix that? Can we fix that? Is there a baby step that you might take that would make that piece of the pie more acceptable or more flexible? Okay. So take a few seconds if you haven't already. Go ahead and mark on the wheel your level of satisfaction in each pie piece. And if you don't have it in front of you, I'll read them again. Spirituality, shared responsibility, visual aesthetic, time spent, sense of teamwork, physicality, emotionality, and noise level. And then who wants to share maybe an area that's going really well and an area that you would like to maybe take a baby step on to make it better?
This is Jennifer. I can't think of an area off the top of my head what's going really, really well. I wish I could. But
okay. What's a good enough? Is there a good enough?
Huh?
Is there one that's good enough?
Probably the noise level.
Okay.
But like the emotionality, my husband and son are, besides spitting images of each other, you know, I was just the incubator for 7 months, that's it. They also react and play off of each other. And in the bad ways, you know, they're constantly, you know, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you. Well, it's like, now you are. It's like, you know, we constantly are having discussions about tones of voices and I guess my son hates the word perception, but, you know, the perception of your voice is loud, which would mean you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like an ongoing struggle. I mean, almost like with everything sometimes.
Yeah. Do you feel like they really don't know that their voices are getting louder?
I think so, that they don't realize it, or they're, you know, intentionally making it louder because they're figuring the other person's yelling.
Mm-hmm. And they're matching
that. Even though
that.
The other person's like, I'm not yelling, I'm not mad. And it's like, well, you could have fooled me.
Right.
Yeah, that's always going on at home.
Hmm.
And especially,
so what would be ways
so similar?
Sorry, go ahead. One more. I'm sorry, I missed what you said.
Oh, I said especially because they're so similar.
Mm. That's got to be challenging for you.
Yeah.
So what would a baby step look like?
I mean, we've been working on it for the past couple years with his counselor, and just, you know, really, I guess, all of us needing to step back and count to 10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm trying to realize, okay, well, I didn't think I was yelling, but I guess it sounded that way.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to flip it around and figure out, okay, well, how best can I say this or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To get across what I'm trying to say.
Does it give you a longer fuse, or does it help knowing that they're not really aware of the way they sound?
I think it is a longer fuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, we spend 10, 15 minutes arguing, I'm not mad. and the time, by the end of it, it's like, okay, darn it, I am mad now.
Now I'm mad, right?
Is
it like literally the same conversation every time?
Almost. It seems like it. You know,
okay.
Why are you yelling? Why are you mad? Oh, I'm not mad.
I'm not mad. I'm not yelling. You're yelling. So what would happen?
Yeah.
And
it's just like, well, wait a minute. Why are we always going this way?
Right.
So
we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think maybe, Jane, I think it was with you, about how if we change one piece of that dynamic, the entire dynamic has to shift. Because if the conversation is different, then the end result's going to be different. Does that make sense? What's one thing you can change in there that might shift the dynamic or change the outcome of just a little bit?
Hmm. I don't know. I guess maybe me just even taking a break or and stepping away or saying, okay, let's all take a, you know, literal voice time out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard not to get sucked in.
Uh-huh. Because you want to protect your son.
Right. Or, you know, try and work with my husband for my son. You know, honey, that's not what he's saying. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying you have to be this way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, just trying to step back and figure out other options or way to say things.
Okay. Want to let it just percolate for a few minutes while we hear from everybody else? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Who wants to go next? Either an area that's going pretty well or an area that you like to focus on and maybe take a baby step with?
Well, this is Jane, and I think physicality was my lowest score for the easy to move around, too much stuff, exhausting, draining, like a heavy coat. I thought that was a really good analogy for some of the rooms where it gets overwhelming, because then you have to think, oh my gosh, look at all that work it is to get that picked up and sorted through. And then I just like have to go into another room, and then that room is nice.
Yeah.
So I was getting ready to vacuum so that the physicality of this one room and put the speaker on, put the phone on mute so that I could at least have some physicality pleasure in that right as we're talking. But anyway, so
that's
guess
great though, but that's an easy fix. I love that.
Run the vacuum.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, physicality can also be, and this is my fault for not saying it sooner, can also be, you know, a comfort level with, like, you know, hugging each other or holding hands with your spouse or partner, or, you know, just the ease of being together, you know, squishing on the couch as a family to watch a movie or something like that. How would you say your house, if we look at physicality from that perspective, is it better, worse, same?
That's the perspective that I read that word as, but when you said the other, I went to that avenue. But with that, what if it's different with the different people in the home? So if you're satisfied with it with one, but not with the other. So,
what do you think makes the difference? Some of it's teenage boy. I mean, no matter.
No, he's the one that I'm more comfortable with. My husband and I have more irritation. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So it makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But anyway.
The relationship with our spouses and the partners is, you know, an important one too. And it's hard to make sure that we're honoring that time commitment and that emotional commitment when we've got so many other things going on with our kids. It's kind of draining that bucket.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, we do pretty good with most of them because, of course, I said I've been working on it for a while, but the noise level could be a little loud because my daughter's loud. My husband's hard of hearing. they both have that hearing that they hear what they choose to. But I would think we do pretty good with spirituality. We have an evening ritual where we say three things that we're grateful for that day.
Oh, I love that.
So we all are feeling a little bit grateful. So I would say our spirituality is pretty good.
Good. Good. And what was the area that you want to do better on? The noise level?
Yeah, I guess the noise level. Or time spent. I guess the noise level.
You still sound unsure.
My husband, because my husband is loud too, and like I said, he's hard of hearing, and you know, he flies off the handle easily. So I would say noise level is what we need to work on.
Yeah. Okay. So what would a baby step look like?
Oh, well, what I'm trying to do now is when he's like starts to yell, I just go, "Yes, dear, whatever. That's perfect. Yes." I speak in a low, condescending voice, which he changes. So.
And how does that go?
It's working. Actually, it's working.
Oh, is it? Perfect.
Yeah.
I love it.
I keep remembering to do it and not react towards him. So
interesting. Is it another one of those moments where you have to go, okay, he's yelling, I'm going to make my voice consciously softer, quieter?
Yes.
Yes,
it is.
Cool. But think about how these things are becoming like habits for you, which is so phenomenal. I love it. Cool. All right, so we got a few minutes left, but let's go ahead and start checkouts now, because I know we've covered a lot of territory today, and I'm curious to see how it all kind of comes together in terms of action steps that we're willing to take or key takeaways from the day. So it's the same questions that we ask every time, and you know, it's what did I focus on or pay the most attention to today? What's my aha or my takeaway today? What's an action step I'm willing to take? And do I have what I need to set myself up for success with that action step, whatever it is? So take a few seconds. It can be, you know, connected with what you took aim on or connected with the tone of the home wheel, or something else entirely, actually. So let's take a few seconds and just kind of process that. And then when you're ready to jump in with a checkout, go ahead and go.
I guess I'll start.
Oh,
go ahead, Jane. Yeah, go,
oh,
Jane,
okay. What I wanted to say that it was different totally than what the tone of the home is that what I thought was most enlightening today was how similar the other ADHD children's things that they're doing are to mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the clothes, the clean clothes in the laundry, the Marines, all that. It's kind of enlightening to me that I spend a good bit of time in my head thinking, look at this child's life. He's doing well in school, and that one has all these good grades, and this one's going to college, and this one is not, you know, sitting around and doing the wrong thing. So I compare to all those
mm-hmm.
other teenagers that are doing all these wonderful things without any issues, and they're perfect. And so I guess I feel like I'm not the only one in the world with this type of situation. Because I sometimes feel that this is the only child that I have to feel this way with. And nobody else, all my friends' kids, they're all perfect. They all go to school. They get good grades. They do their homework. They're going to college. They get into college. They graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's my nieces and nephews, and they're all excelling, and they're all in very high.
Jane, I'm going to interrupt you.
You know better.
I'm in the same way thing, but you know what? They've got something going on. They've got something that's not working for them. So just remember of all the really good qualities that your ADHD child has, the creativity, there's neurotypical kids. I'm in the same boat with you. Sometimes I get caught up in all that, but everybody has got something. You may not see it, but they've got something going on with them that's not working perfectly.
Yeah, well, thank you. That helps to remind me that, because it's very easy to just see everyone else out there. I mean, like I said, my nieces and nephews, but I look at the other women and their children. I'm thinking, look, they're all, it's easy. They go to school and they pass. They've got their diploma. Now they're off to their life and they'll get a job and everything's. And I don't see anyone else doing this. So I guess when you feel like an island. But thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, well, you're not. And just remember that, though, you know, I mean, because I think most of us as ADHD parents, we look at those neurotypical kids and feel the same way, you know. We got to always remember what great qualities our child has and, you know, how great they will be.
And since elementary
school
and life was easy for the other children, I watched them, you know, life was easier. School was easier. Everything seemed to flow joyfully. But anyway,
you're
And
they are all probably going.
But that's like my biggest problem about the ADHD is this struggle that it makes our children have to go through for life. That's the thing that just breaks my heart the most.
That's hard. But you guys are giving them the skills that they need to be successful in life. You are. And don't doubt that. And I know that you know that you're not alone. I mean, there's millions of us out there, right?
Yeah.
Better than others. And just think, all those moms and parents of all those neurotypical kids are looking at you guys going, wow, they are amazing. Look at what they're able to manage. Look at, you know, they've got this child that has some challenges, but also has these great strengths. And I'm sure there's plenty of neurotypical moms who are like, there's no way I could do what you do. There's absolutely no way. You guys are exceptional parents. Don't ever forget that. Who wants to check out next? Nobody?
Okay, well, I was gonna. I ought to focus on what the older children are going through, the same thing. So I was thinking, oh man, I'm gonna be picking up those clean clothes for another 10 years.
Hey, but if that's the worst thing that you have to do for the next 10 years, that's pretty good.
That's right.
I know. I guess I have to remember that, right? Just remember helping them, keeping on helping them to learn to be a good adult, a happy adult. So that's what I just got to remember. And one day she'll either get it or she'll hire a maid.
There you go. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's also what you're okay with. If you're okay with shutting the door and, you know, waiting until she picks up her clothes herself, then that's fine too. It's that whole priorities and values balance.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. We got one more, right? Where did everybody go? No, I'm missing one.
I'm Jane. I already went.
I know.
I went. Jennifer.
Who's left? Hello? Uh-oh. I lost it. Okay. Well, all right, guys. It's top of the hour. We are going to meet again in a couple of weeks. Thank you all for participating today. It's always fun when we have more people and everybody jumps in. Any last burning questions or fears, desires, things that you need to share before we sign off for the day?
No, I just want to thank you and everybody. It really was quite helpful.
Okay, thank you. Always good to talk to you guys. Thanks for letting me cover today.
Thank you, ladies.
Okay. Have a good day.
Take care.